It's a good thought. I've started out with saying this. Of whom was it said? Let's see if you know these, all right? Please don't go get ahead of me. Of whom was it said, have you considered my servant? Job. God said it to? God said it to Satan. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Who was it said of? Enoch. He walked with God, and he what? He was not, for God took him. Of whom was it said, he spoke to God face to face? Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. Of whom was it said, I have seen God face to face? I'll give you a hint, and you'll get it immediately. It was after a wrestling match. I knew if I put that hint there, you'd get that right off. Of whom was it said, a man after God's own heart? David. Of whom was it said, among them there are born of women, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Who's it said, friend, who, he's a friend of God. Tim's mouthing the truth. Answer, anybody else got it? It was Abraham. James 2:23. I believe it was Sunday night. Mark Mariner made a comment to that, didn't he? Didn't he say that the only place he knew of in God's Word where someone was called a friend of God was Abraham? That's somewhat true. Let me show you a verse. Turn over to John 15. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Oh, he said, you're right, brother. I'm thinking about what in John 15 regarding this idea of a friend. I want to deal with the subject of friend or friendship. In John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The word servant here is the word doulos, the Greek word doulos. It is used in a couple of different ways in the Greek. It's used, first of all, as a servant who is under bondage to a master. That's not the case here. It's also used as one who is willingly submissive to another. And these disciples were willing to submit to the Lord as a servant. But Jesus said, I'm going to change that relationship and make it one of a friendship. And we'll discuss that in some detail as we go along. Turn also to Luke chapter 11. Let me read a portion of Scripture, a parable that the Lord gave, and notice the word friend that's in here. It's about prayer. The application is about prayer, but I want you to notice the action of the friend, the neighbor, the person who is in need and who met with that need. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 says, you there? Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Can you imagine someone come knocking your door at George, Carolyn, we need 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. The custom of the day, it is a lot in the Middle East, is to provide a meal for someone who's going to visit in your home. And so the meal was going to be provided. And he from within in shall answer, say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, great need at the time, he shall rise and give him as many as he needeth. Notice the idea of a friend here. So I want to do a little bit of study, a word study on friendship. You have your outline there? Let me just show you a couple of things. A common definition, yeah, I put it in there. A common definition of friendship is a close, trusting relationship between two people. Okay? Now, the word friend or friendship, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, has some different aspects to it. When you say friend, that covers a lot of territory, but there's a little bit more detail to it when you look at these key words. In the Old Testament, see the two words here? There are two words used to describe friendship. I do not know how to pronounce them. One is R-A and one is R-A-H. That's from the Hebrew. I'm not sure how to pronounce it at all. Notice it says here, one of the words, this first word, means associate or companion. And it's related, it is said, to a shepherd and their sheep. A shepherd is a companion to his sheep, is going to take care of his sheep. So that word friend is used in that kind of idea of caring for one another as a companion. And it's also in the New Testament, or a partner, or one said comrade. That's kind of Russian, right? The other word used in the Old Testament is the word R-A-H, and it's a deeper relationship. It has the idea of affection and devotion. It's the idea of a dear, close friend. Sometimes we have friends that are just kind of acquaintances, and we'll use that word sometimes. And then there's other friends that we have that are very close, right? I mean, close in the sense of not distance, but close in the area of relationship. Do you have any friends? Do you have friends when you were growing up? Do you have any close friends? I mean, close friends. I had a few, and somebody says you are. Who was it said? Was it on the movie? Man is blessed if he has friends. Who said that? Wasn't that on a movie somewhere, George? What? Never mind. Never mind, it doesn't matter. It's not that important. Okay, in the New Old Testament, friendships are, they can be, they're from a simple association with each other. The word is used for that, or a closer relationship. One of the dearest friendships that was actually a very close relationship was between David and Jonathan. And I don't think I put did I put that on there? No. So that's the word in the Old Testament. And the word for friend or friendship in the New Testament is similar in aspect. There's two words. The first word is philos, P-H-I-L-O-S here. And that's a derivative of philia, which means friendship, which is connected to the word phileo. Phileo is a word that is used for one of the words that's translated into, in the English, love. Okay? The other word in English that's translated love is the agape. There's not the same word. Phileo is more of a friendship. The city of friends is what? Philadelphia. That's the word, phileo. Agape is the Greek word for that divine love by which God loves us. James points out that Abraham is a friend of God, and the word philos is used to describe Abraham's relationship to the Lord. The other word that's used in the New Testament is this other word, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Heteros, whatever. It has the idea, like in the Old Testament, of a comrade, a companion, or a partner. It's more of a general term. Hey, friend. You don't know somebody. You don't say, hey, sir. Or, hey, you may say, hey, friend. They're not close relationship. They're just a person that you know. It's just a very general term for the word friend. Now, let's look at three aspects. Can I look at three aspects? Any questions about the word usage? That's important. It's really important. When you see in the New Testament, there's some real key ideas when it gets to the New Testament. The first thought I want you to share with you is Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Actually, turn over to me. Let me show you this. Turn over to Matthew 11. Actually, this is what Jesus said other people were saying about him. This is what Jesus says that others were saying about him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 8 says, I'm going to look at verse 8. Am I in the right book? All right, what am I doing here? Verse 18 and 19, I'm sorry, it's not 8 and 9, it's 18 and 19. Boy, that silly computer, right? Jesus is speaking to the multitudes, and he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil, because he was not eating, he was doing a lot of fasting. Jesus says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. What's a publican? Oh, I've got it down here. A publican was a tax collector, right? The most infamous tax collector in the New Testament was of course, Matthew. They were Jewish men who actually collected taxes from the Jewish people. They were intensely hated because they were cheaters. They took advantage of the people. They took money for themselves as well as others. The word sinner here, Jesus is a friend of sinners and publicans. The word or publicans and sinners. Sinners is the idea of transgressing the law. Now, the question is, I give you too much information. The question is, what was Jesus saying? Was being a friend of sinners a compliment? Were they trying to compliment Jesus? What were they saying? Okay. The word for friend here, let me show you. Hold the thought there. Look at Matthew 20. Let me show you the difference in these two words. Sometimes Jesus used the word friend in a very general sense. In Matthew 20, verse 13, it's in the middle of a parable. Jesus used the term. But he answered one of them and says, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not agree for a penny. Friend, person, man, person. That's the second definition. That's the second word for friend. That's the heteros, right? He's just a general idea. Just a buddy. Just somebody I know. The word here, friend of sinners, is the word philos. Jesus was saying, you are accusing me of having a close relationship with sinners. Not just a companion, but having a close relationship, implying that he was indulging or participating or had some kind of character relationship with them in some close way. Did he? Did he have a philos relationship with these with the lost or not? No. No, he didn't. So this was a very strong accusation. It wasn't just, hey, they weren't saying, well, you're a companion of sinners. Well, he was a companion, right? He was with them. He did not avoid them. He was among them. He was there for a reason. But he was never a philos friend. You understand the difference? He wasn't that close relationship. He wasn't part of the crowd. He was there with them, but he was not of. He was with them, but not of them. Does that make sense? So this was a very strong, no, he says, that's not who I am at all. Jesus was indeed concerned about the lost, obviously. He came to heal the law, to save the lost and heal the sick, right? He was the lover of men's souls and so forth, but he was not that philos relationship with lost sinners. Question, can believers have a philos relationship with sinners? I'm talking about, That's a different story. Yes, you're right, brother. Believers should have compassion, should be friendly and kind to people, and for the purpose of just as who we are, but also with hopefully that will exalt the Lord and lead them to Christ. But to have a philos relationship, I mean a close, intimate relationship, is impossible for the lost, for a saved person to have that with a lost person, right? Because our minds are different, our mindsets are different, our thoughts are different, our purposes are different. We have Christ in our hearts, I have the Holy Spirit. The lost person does not. That does not mean that we should not be the other kind, a comrade or a companion to be among the lost so that we can tell them about Christ and lead them in the way of righteousness.
That's how it should be on the workforce.
What do you mean? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's not that intimate relationship.
It can't be. Two can't walk together.
That's right. You can go back to Corinthians and talk about and so forth. And they have to be. It has to be a spirit of agreement and spirituality and so forth. So Jesus, this was a very strong accusation. Oh, you're just like one of them. No, I'm not like with them. I'm among them. I'm a companion, but I'm not one of them. And so it was a very strong accusation from the religious leaders and the public against the Lord Jesus. Got that idea? Now, Jesus loves sinners, right? He has a heart for sinners. He took on the body of a man so that he could be among sinners and lead them to repentance and conversion. But no close relationship. There was a connection, but not a relationship. See what the difference I'm making here? Everybody see that? Okay. Let's go on. The friend of sinners. The friend of, talk about the friend of God. James 2:23 says, let's see, I've got the quote somewhere. But anyway, you know the verse. Abraham is said to be a friend of God. Look at the back of your thing here. I didn't put any outlines on here. I found a blog by a fellow by the name of Pastor Kurt Skelly, Skelly. The title of it was Five Ways to Be a Friend of God. I thought it was a great article. I had never heard of this Kurt Skelly. I found out that he was he's a pastor of the Harvest Baptist Church. I assume that's in California. He's also spoken on several occasions at the West Coast Bible College and conferences there. Stephen said he had actually heard him while he was in school, Kurt Skelly. And I also realized this afternoon, I was looking, he will be one of the speakers at the Wiles this year. So I've taken this and just given some of the basic outlines and what he shared to be a friend of God. We don't know what God saw in Abraham for God to say he is a friend. He actually used that phrase. We don't know exactly what he meant or what he was doing, what identifies him as a friend. But this Pastor Skelly, I thought, did a good job here. And he just talked about how can we be a friend of God? He says a friend of God, number one, is, don't look at the second column, a friend of God is one who values his presence above all else. One who values the presence of God above all else. Would you agree with that? You remember when Moses went up the mountain and got the Ten Commandments and the other information about the law and the tabernacle, and he came down, and what did he find? He found the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were into idolatry, the two golden calves, there were licentious activities, and so God was upset with the people. I'm not going to, what did God say? I'm not going to do what? I'm not going with them. I'm not going to lead this people to the promised land. I'm going to send an angel, and they can follow the angel. Moses said, remember? Moses said, if you don't go with us, I'm not going. Moses valued the presence of the Lord in his life like we all should, right? And so a friend of God is who desires to be in the presence of their Lord. They prioritize that relationship, that presence. It's like a husband and wife. Don't you get excited when you're in each other's presence? George looks really excited. I walked in this evening and was standing in the back, and Michelle brought Angela in, put her down, and she saw me. Guess what she did? She smiled and ran to me. Right, Bob? And ran to me. She was delighted in my presence for that moment, and I delighted in her presence. A friend of God delights, prioritizes, I need to be with God. That's a friend of God. And again, this is this pastor suggested. He also suggests a friend of God is one who lives a life of faith. Faith. Was Abraham a man of faith? Look at the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16, 15 or 16. Just over and over again, God, through the Spirit of God, speaks about Abraham's faith. A friend of God is one who takes God at his word, and that's exactly what Abraham did. He believed. Oh, he made some mistakes along the way, didn't he? He failed a few times, lied a couple of times, did things he shouldn't do, but he was a man of faith. Amazing. Pastor Skelly suggested that a friend of God is one who joyfully seeks his benefit and advances his agenda. Most people today are out to make themselves known in their own agenda. But a believer, one who's a friend of God, is one who exalts the Lord, who's concerned about God's glory, that whatever they do for the glory of God. These are just suggestions. I'm not, anyway. A fourth one he suggested was a friend of God will carefully guard his affections and amusements. In other words, a friend of God is not going to do something that's going to displease the Lord. Our desire that whatever we do is to please the Lord, isn't it? Our lives, our words, our actions, our deeds, our reactions, whatever, they're to please the Lord. So we are to seek to please the Lord. There's a love for the Lord. The love for God transcends the allurements of the sinning world. That's the reason, that's one of the reasons we don't sin, right? Because we love the Lord. Not just because it's a religious activity or something we should not do. We love the Lord. We want to please the Lord. A fifth suggestion, a friend of God is privy. You understand the word privy? Is what's the definition of the word privy?
Privilege.
Privilege, that's good, that's good. Is privileged, that might have been a better word, to special information and is supremely reliable with it. They're faithful to God's word. They're faithful to God's word. It's important. God's word is important. So I thought that was some good ideas and thoughts and so forth. And if you want a copy of that entire blog, I have some. I don't have a copy, but I can make you a copy of that entire blog. Be a friend of God. Isn't that great to be God? To have that relationship, that closeness to be. And we can have that relationship. It's there. If we'll just draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. Well, let me take this to a third step. Let's talk about friend of sinners, friend of God. What's the other step? Friend of others. You know what? What book in the Bible says probably more about friends, definitions, the positive and negative, than any other book? What book? Proverbs, absolutely. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Of course, it's talking about the Lord, but a man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly. Let's see how I want to go with this. Yeah. Let's see if that's, where's that in my... When Judas came to Jesus there on in Gethsemane with the men that were going to betray him, the mob, the first word Jesus said to Judas was what? You remember what it was? He says, "Friend." That's basically what are you doing here? Question is, which two of the Greek words did he use? Did he use philos, or did he use the other Greek word that meant companion? Huh? He did. I found that very interesting. He did not use philos, saying, my dear, close, intimate friend. He called him companion. Not even partner, but companion, person he was accompanied with, because Judas really did not have a close relationship with the Lord because he was lost. I find that very interesting. See, it is important to do word study sometimes with some of these words. Anyway, let me go on. Believers, are we to be friendly with others? We are. Excuse me. Is there a difference between having a friend and being friendly? There's a difference between having a friend and being friendly. We as believers are to be friendly to all people, right? Be kind, gracious, compassionate, whatever the case may be. But then there's that relationship we can have close friends. There's friends that we can do. Would you agree with this? Believers ought to develop friendships among believers.
Of course.
Not just a, hey, what's your name? You know, and just keep on going. No, a friendship, develop some relationships with each other. There's some sad parts about having friends. Sometimes friends are not friends for the right reason. Let me read you a couple of verses. I've got the Book of Proverbs, all the verses here. What happens? You know what happens when a person? You know what I'm told happens when a person wins the lottery? All of a sudden, what? They have friends. Relatives come out of the woodwork. They have friends, and of course they want some. And you know, Proverbs says that. Proverbs says that in Proverbs 14:20 it says, and here's my list. Says. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, But the rich hath many friends. In chapter 19, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. There are folks who want to be a friend to others because of what they can get from them. Some kind of gift, some kind of advantage, some kind of importance or whatever. You know what I thought? The American people think the government is their friend. Why is that? Because we're going to get money. We're going to get money, right? We're going to get more money from the stimulus. Oh, that means government is our friend, right? They care for us, right? I don't think so, but you can take that whatever you want to, all right? So some people make friendship for the wrong reasons, for gifts, and so forth. There's another problem sometimes with friendship. Sometimes the person we think is a friend, ever have somebody to betray your friendship? Not a good thing to do. David had a problem with that. There were times when there were men who betrayed him. This is in the book of Psalms. He says, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. He said another place, yea, my own familiar friend, whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. So David experienced this betrayal. What a terrible thing. David was crushed. I'll go back and read the Psalm 35 and Psalm 41. And David was crushed because of the betrayal. Also read that David had a close, I forget what attachment he was, whether he was a captain or whatever. I can't think of his name. But when Absalom came along, this guy said, well, I'll be just as loyal to you as I was to your father. And he just betrayed David and moved over to the other side. Betrayal, betrayal, betrayal. Isn't that sad? Say again. Yes, you're right. You're right. He betrayed Uriah. He did that absolutely. So David wasn't any better at times. You're right. I'm debating which one to do. Yeah. Look at this chart again. I also put in here, what is a friend of others? A friend of others values the presence of their friend. I'm going to read these. I'm moving around, aren't I, Bob? I'm sorry. I didn't do that on purpose. A friend of others values the presence of his friends. Don't you? If you have a friend, you want to be with them, right? Right. You don't avoid them. Psalm 27:10 says, thine own brother, thy father's friend, forsake not. Forsake not. We should have friends. A friend of others will be faithful in meeting the needs of others. 1 John talks about as believers, we're to meet each other's needs. So a friend is willing to get up at midnight and give three loaves to their friend because of people that are coming to their house. That's what a friend does, right? I'm talking about a deep friend, an intimate friend, and I'm going to define that a little bit more in just a second. A friend of others joyfully seeks to encourage and advance the spiritual well-being of their friend. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Faithful are the blank of the friend of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, why? Because you're trying to give counsel, but the kids and enemy are deceitful. So a friend cares for each other and so forth. What's the next one? A friend of others does nothing wrong that might endanger their friendship. If you have a friend, you don't want, if there's a, do friends ever have problems? Do two friends ever have problems? What do they do? What should you do? See ya. You work it out. Oh, what's the verse? Proverbs 27:9. No, that's not the one I wanted. Make surety of your friend. I think I gave the wrong one down. Okay, where is it? Anyway, it says, make sure of your friend. Make sure of your friend. Take care of the difficulties and deal with it. I'm not sure. I put the wrong verse down. Anyway, last one. A friend of others is privy or privileged to share information from friends and does not judge his friend. Believe genuine close friends do what? You share. You share intimate things, like a husband and wife shares intimate things, and you're not judgmental and you're not critical. You just listen and share. That's what. And you don't share it with everybody, right? You keep that confidence because that's the right thing to do. Now, let me go back to my outline. Yeah, here it is. I in our lifetime, we come in connection with we come in contact with a lot of people. I wonder how many people we come in contact with. But of those people, there's only certain connections. We're going to make, I'm talking about connections, some kind of a connection with them. I'm using the word connection on purpose. I think there's only three, to me, you can correct me or you can, this is more of an op-ed, so my opinion thought here. We have connections on one of three levels. One of those levels is a simple acquaintance. Simple acquaintance. We know somebody. We don't see them often. We don't know much about them. They don't know much about us. We may greet them. Hi, how you doing? General talk. There's not a sharing. Just kind of a passing courtesies to each other. We have a lot of those, right? We met people, and I've met missionaries and pastors and people in the area, and so they're kind of a casual acquaintance. They don't know me too much. I don't know them, and we just have a relationship. Even sometimes that's true in families. Sometimes in families, there's distant family members that you have just an acquaintance with. I have nieces and nephews in Kansas City that I have just a simple acquaintance with. Some of them I would even know by. Some of the nieces, I have grandnieces and so forth and nephews. I wouldn't know them if I saw them. So it's just when I was out there, my brother's wife's death, we talked and so forth with my nephews. But just a simple acquaintance. But then another one is, the second one I call it the loving associations. This is people that we're with. Loving maybe not be the best word, but we're with people. We know them. They know us. This is, I think, where most of our relationships are with people. We have a working knowledge of who they are, what they are. We share things. We care for each other. We help out when we can. And so there's just kind of relationship back and forth. There's a lot of that, right? And that's good. We should have that kind of relationship with each other believers, right? I'm gonna put in the area of believers just a second. And again, I think this describes most of what our relationships are. I don't know, maybe we have more acquaintances, but loving associations are good. That's something we should have, right? Especially among believers. And I'm going to specify the church. And then the third level, which is the one that probably we have the least of, is trusting relationships. Trusting relationships where we have this close friend that we can share our heart with. And we want to be together. We just share a heart with and open up and talk about things. And they listen and they respond in a loving way and care and give counsel even when it hurts. And they're there for us. And to be honest, I'm told that if we just have a few of those in our lifetime, we're fortunate. I'm talking about close. Let me tell you what bothers me or concerns me. Sometimes in a church situation, some folks just want a simple acquaintance. They don't want to be involved in each other's lives because if I know somebody, I might know their needs. I might have to do something about it. So it's more comfortable with some to just have a simple acquaintance. Now, we're not a large church, but have you you've attended large churches, right? Maybe you remember large churches. And sometimes a large church, you don't know everybody, do you? You may know those people around you. You had some kind of a Sunday school class or whatever. But other folks, you just have an acquaintance with, a simple acquaintance. You don't know them. You may not even know their name. Okay? Of course, in our church, that's not the situation. As believers in a local congregation, I believe we should be working A man who's going to have friends must do what? Show himself to be friendly. Show himself to be friendly. Some want to be these folks that want to be isolated from each other, stay away, and so forth. It means they have no responsibility, so they can leave and move all on to other areas without any problem. Let me just set that aside. I'm concerned sometimes that we're not working at developing friendships. Stephen made a comment. He comes by on Wednesdays and we pray, and Aaron did that as well before he left. Part of his prayer time was, Lord, get us back to the time where people need the church and need each other. We've kind of lost that, haven't we, as believers? We have our own thing. We think we want to know. Do we need God? And we need to come together. Not that we're not. I'm not saying that. I told one of our missionaries, people Sunday were out in the hall just talking, fellowshipping. I said, this gives me great joy to see believers doing that. They're relating. They're developing associations. And some out of those associations develop closer relationships. And that's a good thing. That's a good church. That's a strong church. The church is to strive together. Why? Philippians. Strive together for the sake of the gospel. We should not be contented with a passing acquaintance with someone. Oh, they're so-and-so low. If we choose... We can't choose. I'm trying to say here. We need to choose to develop relationships. The Bible talks about believers doing what with each other? Praying for one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, edifying one another. So the relationship. In a church, who brings the church members together? How do you decide to go to church? Who does this? Who gathers? Who's the one that's responsible for gathering a body of believers together? Huh? It's the Lord, right? The Lord develops a congregation, brings congregation together with the purpose of fulfilling God's will and so forth, and edifying one another, evangelizing, but also to encourage and edify one another. And you can do that through relationships. Like Brother Archer said in his prayer letter, missionaries are not supposed to give any tell what their struggles are. Why? Is anybody here struggling with anything? We all are, okay? And we should be able to have that freedom of sharing and being praying with one another. When somebody seeks to join the church, I ask them two questions. Right, Tony? I think I asked you these questions. I ask, first of all, are you saved? Are you born again? Baptized? If not, then we baptize you if necessary. But are you born again? Know the Lord Jesus? The question is, what? Do you have enough money to come into our church? Tony says, I got plenty. No. I didn't say that, folks that are listening. Don't cut me. Don't cut this thing off and on. Yeah, I can hear. Okay. See the comments rolling in. What do I ask? Yeah. And I just, have you prayed and have you believed that this is God's will for your life? If they say yes, what does that mean? Then God is putting people together, right? If it's God's will, God is bringing people together. Why? Well, there's a ministry here we're together, but there needs to be working at developing relationships, associations, loving associations that care for one another, and out of that love relationship, there'll be a few that just kind of fit together, believers, two men, two women fit together and develop that trusting relationship. And that's okay. That's okay. That makes a strong church, doesn't it?
One person said, this is my church. Lifegate Baptist Church is my church, which means that I'm part of it. I'm part of that church. I'm involved in that church. I have friends in that church. I enjoy the
Yes, and within the church, again, going back to this idea of our relationship to each other.
Well, we talk about the body of Christ, the members of the family in the body of Christ of this local assembly.
Yes, in this local assembly, we're interrelated, somewhat interdependent. And so we must work at developing those relationships. Or we may have a closer relationship with some person than another person. That's okay. That's not what I'm saying. But just being friendly and kind and gracious and loving and being there for our friends and being there for one another and being there for each other. And again, I'm not criticizing at all. Just that's the kind of friendships that we need to, that believers need to develop with each other, whether it's this church or any other church. Okay? Any feedback? Somewhat, yes.
They have the similarities.
Commonalities.
Common, you know, and that sort of thing. Yes.
Jesus was a friend of sinners in a good sense. He was a companion with the desire to see people come to Christ. Abraham was a friend of God, that we need to be a friend of God. If we live our lives right and faithful to Him and trusting Him, Abraham was faithful. He was full of faith and obeyed God, and we need to be a friend to others as well. So if I call on you for three loaves of bread at midnight, will you give me bread? Then it's going. Okay. Does it matter if I'm a friend? If your daughter called up at midnight and said, "Mom, I need three loaves of bread." I can't tell you. It's critical, though. I need three loaves of bread right now. I need it. Yeah. Okay, Tim, get the left. Go. Get the rope. And you will take care of that. You will take care. And friends do that for each other. Of course, your family, but friends do that as well. Close friends will do that, right? Tim, you remember this, I'm sure. Remember when Tom Faust went to the hospital over in Red Bank? Remember that night? And some of you don't know Tom Faust. He was a dear brother was here. And just he was very friendly, very open, and we loved him and so forth. And he went in the hospital. He had a... Did he have an attack or just having, I think it was an attack, attack. And I'm not sure how we got the word, but so we got the word in the middle of the night. And there were several of us men. I can't remember everybody. Tim was there. Glenn Kilgore was there. I don't know if Bob, were you there? But there were several men that came in the middle of the night to come to the waiting room and pray for him. Because he was a believer. He was a friend. And we do that for other people too. That's the kind of relationships that believers ought to have with each other.
Yeah.
Loving and giving and helping and reaching out, and even if they don't know why. Any other comments? Feedback? No sarcasm, just feedback.
The world knows nothing about this. They have no idea who we are and what we're all about.
And why we do it. All right, well, let's pray and let you go. It's dark outside. But do you notice the days are getting longer a little bit? The other night, about 6 o'clock, and the sun was down, but it was still light in the western sky. It was still not dark yet. Praise the Lord for that. All right, hope to see you Sunday. God bless you. Pray for one another. Be nice, be friendly, and so forth. Father, we thank you for the evening. Lord, may we be challenged. We want to be your friend, obviously. We want to be considered a faithful follower, one who has faith, one who is obedient, one who follows your leadership. May we do that, Lord. Not that we're perfect. We're not perfect, Lord. But and then also help us to be friends with each other. Brothers in Christ should love brothers in Christ and reach out to brothers in Christ. But then also we need to be friendly to the world around us, not ugly, not always putting people down or judgmental. We need to be friendly so that we can have an opportunity to share the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in people's lives. We pray for safety as we travel home tonight. We once again, Lord, pray for our country and the new movement and new administration we're moving into for these next 4 years. We pray that you'd step in and give us a lot guidance and leadership and all those who are involved and who are in leadership roles. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.